Welcome back to Spirit Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, we're here in Tyler, Texas at True Vine Brewery. We've got a great podcast for you. It's really going to hit home in perfect timing for the holidays. You guys know how I like to have something about holiday eating and control and all that good stuff. And we've got a couple experts ready to talk about that very topic. Before we get to them, let's thank some sponsors. We've got Rex Construction, Red Consulting, Red Construction, The Vault, Hootenholler Package Store, Goosehead with Ray Plunkett. We've got the Humidor. Houdini's is coming on next month. Thank you so much, Blake and Virginia, for sponsoring us and seeing what we're doing. Thank you so much. We've got Texas State of Mind Coffee, which I'm able to give to you guys right now.
Thank you.
Yes. They make great coffee, 100% organic. It's made here in Tyler. Mm-hmm. They're actually the coffee of Texas. Mm-hmm. They have that distinction.
The official coffee.
Correct. That. And they're air roasted, which is much different than Starbucks and the others. Much healthier, no carcinogens, perfect process. Thank you, Blake, for being a sponsor of us. And Stanley's Barbecue. Thanks to Heather and Nick, which I got to spend some time with this last week. Thank you guys for believing in what we're doing and being a sponsor. Without further ado, we've got Priya Das, who is a certified personal trainer. Yes, I'm going to read this. Certified personal trainer, nutritional coach, specializing in women over 40, particularly women, who is in perimenopausal. I almost got it wrong. I had it on me. And menopause. Mm-hmm. And then we have Scott Sampson, who just helped me. He's the host of a YouTube channel called Becoming Superhuman. Thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Priya, tell us your story about how you kind of got involved in health and wellness.
It was kind of a long road. I'm going to try and make it short. Years ago, we were trying to figure out what am I going to be when I grow up. I was in my 40s, and I just had been interested in health promotion, all that stuff. And so we were in North Carolina, and I looked at the university where my husband was teaching. I was like, what are the options there? And there was a degree. I could have got a master's in exercise science, which I was like, I'm not really interested in science, exercise, because I really didn't work out at that time. Yeah. I walked, that's it. And I said, okay, because I could use it for health promotion, and so I did that. And my practical work was in cardiac rehab, so I was doing that while, after I graduated, we moved to Arizona, and I just could not find work. So my experience was in cardiac rehab. I could not find work for the life of me, tried really hard, for whatever reason, couldn't find anything. And that's when a friend told me, why don't you become a personal trainer? And I was like, you're kidding me, I'm 54. She's like, yeah, you would be really good at that. So I took her advice and I became certified as a personal trainer, and right then COVID hit.
Right.
So all my work I was doing virtually. I started with personal training, but actually, backtracking, I was always interested in nutrition. Mm-hmm. I wanted to become a dietitian, but I had learned about how I would have, with my background, not having been in science, I would have needed 2 years of chemistry before I got into the program, mm-hmm. which had deterred me. Mm-hmm. And so my heart was always in nutrition. I was always interested. And so when I got the opportunity, I found this course, which is actually highly acclaimed, and becoming a nutrition coach, and I did that, and I absolutely loved it
because
it
had over heels after that.
Yes, I was. It was so aligned with my philosophy, you know, about not going overboard on one way or another, mm-hmm. and it was more about coaching and not so much about like clinical, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Like dietitians are. But it was more about coaching the person. And I just absolutely loved it. So I did that. And, you know, and then along the way, I've done other certifications, some of which I felt I needed, but a lot of it was because I really wanted to learn.
Yeah.
I've just had...
Kind of got the bug of just going to school and learning. And
yeah, I'm 61 years old. I'm still working on learning, you know, and mm-hmm. I just keep like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. Okay, I'm buying this book. I bought this book, you know, because
right.
I just love learning. You know, I know... And I always call myself my first client, and I always say I am still my first client, mm-hmm. and working on my health along with helping other women. And I am looking for tools and education sure. to support me and to support other women.
Yeah, that's very cool. Scott, tell us your story. I mean, I've heard it a couple times.
You've heard it a few
We've
times.
We've spent some time together.
And, you know, and once you go through a transformation like I've been through, you become a evangelist for it, if you would, or an ambassador. And, you know, I was telling Priya earlier, you know, I gained weight every time my wife got pregnant. Mm-hmm. I'd gained 30 pounds because she gained 30 pounds. Seriously, y'all, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I gained 30 pounds. She lost her weight. I did not. Mm-hmm. Second child comes along, she gained 40 pounds. Scott gained 40 pounds. And, you know, so I went from, you know, 230 pounds to 270, 275 within about 4 years. And then it was just after that, it's been basically a 30-year battle. Mm-hmm. Maybe not 30, but something like that. Just yo-yo diet, mm-hmm. losing weight. Gaining it back, losing weight, gaining it back. I'd get close to 300. I never wanted to see the 3 on the scale, and I would lose 30 pounds or 40 pounds. If I was wildly successful, mm-hmm. I'd lose 35 or 40 pounds. And then, you know, over the next year, you know, whatever, I didn't have the tools I needed at the time to keep it off. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the will. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that now I've discovered and learned. But I started taking care of my mom in 2019. My dad passed away, massive heart attack. He was 73. And my mom was disabled. And she had metabolic problems, metabolic issues, heart disease, diabetes, mm-hmm. Just on and on. And so I saw her on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And at the time, she was 74. And I saw her on a daily basis. I took her groceries. She had to have her Diet Coke every day, and she didn't want a can. So I spent a lot of time with my mom. I'm glad I was able to do that. But at the same time, I saw my mom in a very poor metabolic condition at 74. And at the time, you know, I was 56, 57 when I started, 58 when I finally decided that I can't do this. I don't want to. My mom's 18 years older than me. And I said, I looked at that, I'm going, I cannot be like this in 18 years. 18 years is not that long.
Right.
And so just took it upon myself I was watching a video, started watching YouTube. That's where I've kind of educated myself. And there's a lot out there. Some of it's good, some of it's not. You have to kind of pick through it. But one of the doctors I saw said, you don't lose weight to get healthy. And I wanted to get healthy, right? Mm-hmm. He said, if you get healthy, you'll lose weight. And I'm like, so it's a mindset shift. Mm-hmm. And that mindset shift caused me to dive headfirst into learning what health was, learning about insulin resistance. I was pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. I was hypertensive. Mm-hmm. I was headed down the same path that my parents had been down because my wife told me forever that I have bad genes. And yes, genes are important, but it's the environment that acts upon those genes that determine whether or not those conditions come into play. Mm-hmm. So anyway, long story short, started watching YouTubes daily. And to this day, I still watch mm-hmm. 3 or 4 a week. And was able to pick and choose and learn, educate myself, and lose 120 pounds.
Yeah.
And so I went from 307 to 187 and decided to share my journey on YouTube.
Right.
And started a YouTube channel and... You know, I've been doing that now for about a year and a half. And it's been fairly successful.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to be able to help other people do what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And do it on a permanent basis and not to make a lifestyle change and not just go on a diet.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I got started and what I'm doing now. And
sure.
Anyway, so yeah.
We're not going to have any problem creating content with the two of you guys.
We're not.
I'm all for lifestyle.
I could keep going, but
yeah,
you know,
sure.
We can go back and forth a little bit.
So, Priya, you touched on education and certifications. Mm-hmm. In talking to you, I know how important mm-hmm. it is. I think you kind of touched on it, Al. It's important because you keep learning things, you keep adding to your toolbox. Is there anything that you want to add to that as far as like your, tell us a little bit about what you're certified in, maybe your education, so that way listeners can kind of understand like, hey, it didn't just stop at one thing, you know, being a certified trainer. You felt motivated to kind of add to it through the list, the laundry list you sent me, which is amazing.
So, you know, after my master's, I did the clinical, it's the ACSM, American College of Sports Medicine certification, which is, it's a proctored exam, clinical exercise physiologist, for which you have to have, like, if you have a master's degree, you need to have 400 clinical hours to qualify to take the exam, and it's a super hard exam. I made it, which even though I'm not in the clinical realm, I get it renewed every 3 years because I don't ever want to do it again. And then when I got my personal training certification, after that, I did two certifications, which were kind of more like just to add the name, just to say that I had that certification, which I actually thought they were pretty lousy certifications, which was a senior fitness and a women's fitness. And then I did the nutrition coaching, which was through Precision Nutrition. I did that. And more recently, was it earlier? No, last year. It was last year. I got the menopause coaching certification through Girls Gone Strong, which was absolutely amazing. I just paid for another certification just because I want to learn. And it's on sleep, stress, and recovery.
I think that is important.
I was really excited about it. I was like, okay, I really need to learn more.
Is there a reason why you're hyper-focused on menopause?
Well, one of them is I'm myself in menopause.
Right.
You know, I have just always worked with women older. Earlier it was over 50. And then this year when I was doing that challenge, the protein challenge, I was kind of like, okay, perimenopause and menopause. Saying that is kind of like too many words. So I just said women over 40.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't mean that everyone was actually in perimenopause, but I just said women over 40. I really love working with this group, you know, and I, because I can relate a lot with them, you know, and I know what the challenges are. I was never super overweight, but I grew up a skinny kid, and then I hit menopause and I couldn't lose weight, you know, and I kept gaining.
And there's no magic pill.
There's no magic pill. And I see so many other women suffering, you know, much more than I did. You know, I did not have all the huge dramatic menopause, perimenopause symptoms. I had some, but nothing so dramatic as a lot of people. But I know there's so much need out there. I really have, I want people to know, I know I want these women to know there is a way. There's a way to live a lifestyle, you know, which is going to help you thrive and not just survive, you know. There is a way, you know, and it's like, you know, it's not just about losing weight. If you do all these things right, you are going to lose weight. I totally agree with Scott on that, you know. And so that, you know, I do talk about weight loss and all that, but I really am interested in promoting a healthy lifestyle, you know. And then along with that, you will lose weight.
Yeah, for sure. Scott, a lot of people depend nowadays on GLP-1s.
Yes.
You know, and it works for some people.
Yes.
But I think you have a little different prescription to that, focused on whole foods.
Yes.
And maybe some fasting. Talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you like doing. We're not getting into your principles yet, but...
Yeah, absolutely. So when you know, the principles came later, actually. What did I actually do? But... So I started looking at what am I going to do? What diet am I going to do? What lifestyle am I going to change to? And, you know, I was looking at everything. I was looking at carnivore, and I was looking at keto. And I started watching all these videos on the dangers of processed foods. The ultra-processed foods that Americans makes up 80% of the standard American diet. And it's full of chemicals, and it's full of seed oils that are really, they're basically, they're chemicals themselves. It's processed oil. And I start going, why have I never heard this before? You know, knowing something can help you change something. And that for me, I started that direction. So my lifestyle change, specifically because I was diabetic, pre-diabetic and pre-hypertensive, was to get rid of, I went low carb, right? So I called it low carb because sometimes keto has a bad rap, primarily because it's not done right. You can't just eat keto products, mm-hmm. and because they're still products, they're still processed, mm-hmm. they still have seed oils in them. Yeah, they might not have as many carbohydrates. And so to me, it just made sense. You know, we as human beings for thousands of years have eaten whole food diets. And really the processed foods only came into place in the 50s
right.
and the 60s. And then it exploded right. from there. And if you look at the amount of heart disease and things of that nature, that is cancer, that has happened in the United States, it's happened in the last 70 years. Mm-hmm. And it's happened because we begin consuming foods that were products and not real food. And so I focused on whole foods, but because I was pre-diabetic in my situation, I believe if you do nothing but eat a whole food diet, mm-hmm. and eat any whole foods that you want, that you will be a healthier person. Period. Full stop.
Now, hold on. Whole food, I mean, I eat whole eggs, and I eat whole avocados, and I eat whole cakes.
Cakes are not whole foods. So to me, a whole food is typically a one ingredient food.
Okay.
It is, so some exceptions, if you would say pork rinds, if they put salt on them or, you know, paprika, okay, there's technically more ingredients, but those are natural ingredients. You know, you can eat beef jerky, but most beef jerky is processed. It's got preservatives added, it right. has sugar added to it. So you have to kind of look at the labels. I became a label Nazi. You know, going in the grocery store, if I pick something up, if it wasn't just food, then I'm not going to consume it. I mean, for the most part, that I lost 120 pounds in exactly a year. It just worked out that way. That wasn't the plan. That's just what happened.
Right.
And in that 1 year, I was very disciplined and committed to not consuming anything in a bag or a box or a can for the most part. I even quit drinking diet sodas. I mean, I was a massive Diet Dr. Pepper guy. I drank Diet Dr. Pepper, and then I'm watching somewhere about a month into my journey, I'm watching a YouTube video, and he starts talking about, hey, you know, here are 10 things you should never eat again, and one of them was called sodium benzoate. I have no idea. Whatever. And he says, well, sodium benzoate, it actually acts, and this is just, I'm getting granular a little bit, but just as an example, it is a chemical that, when it enters your body, triggers an enzyme that triggers your body. It sends a signal to your brain not to burn fat. Mm. Well, I want to burn fat, so why would I consume this? Mm. Well, so what is sodium benzoate in? Well, it's in Diet Dr. Pepper, and it's in Diet Pepsi, and it's in a lot of things, but particularly it's in diet drinks. So I went from drinking Diet Dr. Pepper to drinking iced tea.
Iced tea, yeah.
Right, so you know, so basically I cut out all processed foods, including the ones that we think of as zero calories. Well, that can't be bad for you. Yes, it can. Mm-hmm. And so I went on this journey, and it worked for me. And I've continued that for the most part. I mean, every now and then I go off the rails, and because I want to splurge or whatever, I go on vacation. Vacation is very dangerous for me because I start feeling superhuman and mm-hmm. bulletproof. And I eat the fried shrimp, and I eat the, you know, sure. I'll get some key lime pie and whatever. So basically, I cut out all sugars. I cut out, because sugars are processed food. I cut out all bread. Bread is a processed food. Mm-hmm. Now, the way they make bread in Italy, it's probably not too bad for you, because they're using
wheat. Or you made it yourself.
If you find an ancient grain. Our wheat in the United States is horrible. It's horrible. And those are things that I have learned.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about education. You know, I'm 61, we're both 61, and to this day, I still watch YouTube videos to try to learn something. Some of them I might not necessarily agree with, but I might catch a nugget or a kernel out of something.
That'll make you want to explore maybe a little deeper.
For
maybe
sure.
Maybe do a little bit more research.
For
see
sure.
See if it's validated. Right. See if it's not, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, and it comes from a place of, from a motivation. We talked about thriving and not mm-hmm. just surviving. Mm-hmm. My mantra was, I want to have a health span that matches my lifespan. Mm-hmm. I want to be healthy until I die. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm going to live to be 110, mm-hmm. but I don't want to get to 70 and then spend the next 15 years just going downhill.
Yeah, in and out of hospital.
And so my research has shown that if you eat whole foods and you eat healthy foods and you follow an active lifestyle, and I don't exercise enough, that's one thing I need to do more of. And I've done off and on in the last 2 years, 3 years, you know, I've gotten into it and then I get out of the habit. But I do believe it's important for us, as particularly once you get our age, mm-hmm. You know, this whole thing about, you know, sarcopenia is where your muscles start mm-hmm. to waste as you age. And you see over and over again, well, it's just a natural process of aging. Well, it's really not. It's really you become less active.
Right.
And once you become less active, then your muscles are going, well, I'm not needed anymore.
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to dominate the conversation. No, Those are just some...
Yeah, perfect. So Priya has pillars. You have principles. Hey, pretty close.
Let's talk about it. Let's do it.
So let's talk about your pillars that we talked about mm-hmm. before the podcast. Mm-hmm. Kind of walk us through what those are, why they're important.
So, you know, it's whole health. Yeah. That's what my core premise of my coaching is, whole health. And it's great that, you know, Scott, I keep saying Samson.
That's okay. I'd go by either.
I couldn't say Paramount, so that's okay.
So one of them is nutrition. Mm-hmm. And it's not just what you're eating, but how you're eating. So it's like, you know, the eating slowly, mindfully, working on eating the vegetables first, then your protein and then your carbs. That's better for your blood sugar. You know, those are things which are really important. Then it's movement. So it's being active throughout the day, not being like, I'm going to spend an hour in the gym, but I'm going to just sit for 8 hours in the office. That's not good either. So we want to be active throughout the day, but we want to work out. And especially for women who are in perimenopause, who are in menopause, Scott talked about sarcopenia. For women, it's much worse mm-hmm. because we're losing estrogen, we're losing testosterone, mm-hmm. You know, and people don't know realize that actually normally women have, premenopausal women have more testosterone in their body than they have estrogen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Men also have estrogen.
Yes.
So we're losing all of that. So we're losing the ability to make muscle, to hold on to muscle, all of those things. So we really need to strength train, because when we're doing strength training, we're protecting our joints and we're protecting our bones.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we're doing that. And we're protecting our independence. Mm-hmm. It's really, really important. I seen my mother, you know, just like Scott talked about his mom. I just saw my mom. She's 88 years old. She fell, broke her hip. I went to take care of her. And it's like, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always say, no, there is no guarantees in life. You know, I got to be in a wreck tomorrow and become a paraplegic, you right. know. But I'm going to do everything I can do to keep myself healthy and well. So movement is super important. Then sleep. Sleep is really important because it is a hormone disruptor. If you're not getting your 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep, your hormones are going to be messed up. You know, your hunger, satiety hormones, your cortisol levels, you become more insulin resistant if you're not getting proper sleep. So sleep is super important, and getting that recovery and managing your stress. Mm. And you know what? As we get older, our stress doesn't go down. It goes up. And for women, especially who are over 40, who are in perimenopause, menopause, we are actually less able to handle stress.
Wow.
Because of the lower estrogen levels, we are less able to, we have more stress, but our tolerance is much less. So we become more stressed and it raises our cortisol levels. So it's really, really important that we are working on our stress to bring it down, manage it.
How do you combat those levels, though? So if testosterone rises and estrogen drops...
Well, testosterone is going down, too.
Yes.
In women, it's all happening. The testosterone going down, estrogen's going down, progesterone, all the hormones are going down.
Okay. So how do you combat that? Like, how do you...
Well, so... There's hormone therapy,
yeah,
which you can do, and I personally actually got on it a little over a year ago. And the difference which I experienced when I started estrogen therapy was that, so I've dealt with anxiety a lot and depression, especially when I was in perimenopause. I didn't even know I was in perimenopause. I didn't know the term perimenopause
at that time. A lot of women don't.
Yeah, I didn't even know the term then.
Right.
And I remember going to a counselor, and then they're like, yeah, it would be good for you to be on something like Prozac. And they put me on Prozac. And my body is very intolerant. I'm very sensitive to medication, and I could not take it. And so I would be like anxious, depressed, whatever. I started the estrogen, and I was like, the one difference I feel is it's taken the edge off my anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I asked my husband later on, I said, so have you noticed any difference? And he's like, you're not mad at me all the time.
Right. Yeah.
So that is really, and actually, I don't know if you heard, but just a couple of days ago, the FDA removed the black box warning on the hormones, which, you know, there was like, oh, there's the risk of breast cancer and all the rest of that. And they've actually removed those warnings. It is actually a really recommended thing. I haven't yet started talking in my community about it, but that is really a way to maintain our bones, to maintain our health, and that is an option. I think it's a very strong option if you don't have risk factors. I think it's easy for doctors to say, oh, you have breast cancer history, or you have family history,
right,
let's not look at it. That may be valid for you, but it also depends what kind of breast cancer you had, because there are different types of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So you need to find a provider who is able to look at all the things and who is well educated. The problem is we do not have doctors who are well educated on hormones.
Yeah.
You know, I went to my primary care, and when I mentioned something about my hormones, and he says, well, you know, this is not how God wanted us to be. And I see out there in his office, in his clinic, there is an ad for Wegovy. And I'm like, was that God's plan to put you on Wegovy, or to have high blood pressure medicine or anything? If it was to just be natural, then it should be nothing. No statins, no medicine.
Right.
And this is natural, you know. Okay, it is exogenous, but it is bioidentical hormones, which are actually going to help me age well. Right. I'm doing everything else too.
I think that's important too to note, is that, you know, being the healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
Our society sells us drugs. Don't worry about your lifestyle, just take drugs.
Right.
Well, that's going to lead you to a very poor health span.
Yeah.
And down the road. It's just going to.
Right.
You know, and you talked about GLP-1s, you talked about Wegovy. You know, those are things that you can, you know, if you follow a protein-centric diet that has a lot of healthy fats like avocado, that naturally raises the GLP-1 in your body.
In your body, yeah.
Just like the drugs do without the side effects.
Yeah.
So if you're diabetic and you have issues,
sure,
and you don't have somebody to educate you on how you should be eating, because that's not what the doctor says when you go. When you go to the doctor and you weigh 300 pounds, I did that.
Or yeah, if you have lymphatic issues, then there's things that come into play genetically that you may have to have a supplement.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Right.
But what
you're sold is an easy fix.
It shouldn't be, exactly.
It's an easy fix.
There's no such thing.
And it's a way of deviating what you need to do.
Right.
This is what you need to do, and then an injectable or a statin forces you to do something.
Right.
You don't have a choice.
When we talk about like hormone, it's not considered a hormone replacement, because I'm not getting the hormone levels which a premenopausal woman is getting. You know, I'm not on those levels. I'm a much lower level. But there's so many women who are not in perimenopause or menopause. Their hormones are just fine, but they are overweight and they're unhealthy because they don't have that healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So we do need to have that balance. And it took me a long time to actually figure out whether I wanted to be on those hormones. Because I came home and I told my husband when I was going to a functional medicine doctor, and he brought this up, and I mentioned to my husband, I'm like, I'm not sure, you know, I don't know whether I can say I'm an authentic person, you know, as a coach. Like I've I failed by doing this. And he's like, how did you fail? You know, you're just replacing something which your body's losing.
Sure.
You know, I've been on thyroid medicine for decades. And so I really thought about it. It's a lot of soul searching, and I went into some of the Facebook groups I'm part of other health coaches, and I asked them, you know, and if you're doing it, what do you feel? Like, it's got nothing to do with you having failed as a coach or as a person. You know, it's something you're doing to support yourself.
Sure.
You're still doing the healthy lifestyle. And that's when I was like, okay. But it took me like 6 months to, you know, figure that out, because I was not ready to do that.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I was lethargic. And I think the biggest thing for me was, I'm a pretty, I like to compete. I'm a pretty competitive person. And I lost some of that edge. I was more just like, it'll happen, whatever happens, happens, instead of making it happen. Mm-hmm. And so I just was like, 1 weekend, just kind of did some research, and I was like, man, I'm 45. Now I'm 47 now, but this is a couple years ago, 45. It's definitely testosterone is weaning. And so I started just a supportive supplement, and holy moly, what a difference. Like, within 2 weeks, I felt completely different. Not that I was trying to wring anybody's neck. Mm-hmm. It was just I felt sharper,
right?
You know, and then creatine came into play,
right?
And that's another supplement that a lot of men should take.
Mm-hmm. Well, and creatine's it's a natural.
It's a tested.
It naturally exists in most proteins, right?
Right.
You just can't eat enough protein to create the additional creatine, because creatine's good for your brain. Mm-hmm. They're putting seniors on it now, senior adults, to help them with their thought process. They're not even working out. They're using creatine now in those kind of ways. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much. You're talking about 5 milligrams a day.
Which is not much.
It's not much. But it is, you know, to get 5 milligrams a day from a steak, you got to eat 2 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can get it. It's there. Mm-hmm. But if you can supplement with it, and it's the same thing. I supplement with magnesium. I don't do creatine yet because I don't work out enough. So I don't feel like I'd really get the benefit of it, but if I ever get to where I do work out more, and I need
but
to,
you
I know
you can use it for your brain. For cognition.
Absolutely,
really
absolutely.
Good.
But I think eating healthy foods does the same thing for you too. It helps you with brain fog. And you mentioned fasting, and you know, let me talk about that for a minute, because intermittent fasting does some of the same things, right? So once you give your body rest from food, you know, we as Americans, our standard American diet, we eat from sun up until we get in the bed. And that's not the way we're made to eat.
And that's a lot of it's because of access, right?
It's
we have more access than any other country.
It is number
to
one,
food.
It's access. Number two, though, it's also what we're eating. You know, our bodies are hungry until we get enough protein.
Well,
but if you're eating,
it's volume too that we're served,
but
right?
But if you're eating a bunch of chips, you're not getting protein, so you're not actually satiating ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone, right? So you're not telling your body, hey, we got enough protein now. We don't. So you know, 8 o'clock at night, you're eating the standard American diet. You're not eating enough protein. You're eating a lot of carbs. You're eating a lot of processed foods. Your body goes, hey, I'm really kind of hungry. And you're in there watching TV. So what are you going to do? You're going to go get a bag of chips, a bag of popcorn, whatever. And you go sit there and you eat the whole thing. And it is, you know, it's our society. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's everywhere.
Yep.
Every commercial you watch.
I mean, now they'll just bring it to you.
Yes.
Your house.
That's true. I mean,
we've made it worse.
You can hit up DoorDash and Walmart and all these other things. So, you know, eating the right things helps you not eat the wrong things, right? Mm-hmm. So if you get enough protein and you know, you get enough whole foods, then you don't have those cravings that you had.
Exactly.
Even though I'm a sugar addict. I'm going to tell you right now. You put a box of donuts in front of me, I'm going to eat them.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat them. Because
I'm lucky in that regard. I just don't have...
Yeah. I wish I was like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, some people, when they change their diet like I have, and they go back and eat some cookies, or they go back and eat some donuts, or they get sick. It makes them sick. Mm-hmm. They literally can't eat it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for me, I don't have that problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make me feel bad, which is horrible. Because then I start justifying things in my mind.
Yeah.
You talked about mindset, you know, and that's where it all starts. Mm-hmm. Weight loss, getting healthy, you know, a healthy lifestyle, being active is all about mindset, is having the mindset to, here's what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to do it.
So let's talk about your principles. This is a good segue.
So yeah, so, I mean, and again, I didn't know this, I didn't know what my principles were until literally a year after I was through, but then I'll go back and look, because I had people come up to me and go, man, you must have so much willpower. And I'm like, I really don't. You put donuts in front of me, even in that stage, I'm going to consume them. And so I started thinking about it, and I started, and I'm also watching some other other types of YouTubers who are talking about mental wellness and talking about mindfulness, and, you know, they're like, you know, you have this, let's see, where was I going with this?
You were watching YouTubers.
Yes. Anyway.
We were talking about your principles.
So number one is inspiration. Yeah. And some people call it motivation. And I saw it, somebody put it this way once and said, look, you know, we can get motivated for a little while. We're going to talk about January 1st coming up, right? And I'm going to get motivated to get healthy, and we're going to start working on that.
Right.
Motivation is an external something. It's something that you want to look better, you want to be able to do something. Inspiration is something that's internal, something that, and that for me, that was looking at my mom, seeing what was happening there. I've got 3 grandkids. Next week I'll have 4. And at the time, before I started this, I'm 300 pounds, 307 pounds. And my grandkids want me to get on the floor and play with them.
Yeah, and you're huffing and puffing.
I'm not just huffing and puffing. It's hard to get up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurts. My joints hurt, everything. And so my inspiration was watching my mom and going and feeling where I'm at now and saying, it can't happen for me. Mm-hmm. So having that why is being able to get on the floor and play with my grandkids and not worry, you know, about being able to get up, not worrying about falling down when I'm trying to get up. You know, so being inspired is number one. Number two is committed, right? And that's, I think commitment's a way better word than willpower. Mm-hmm. I'm committing myself, and I use the term put a stake in the ground. I'm going to claim this ground, I'm going to put a stake in the ground, and this is what I'm going to do come hell or high water. And so to commit to something, commit to a marriage. We're going to stay together forever. I'm going to commit to a lifestyle change. I'm not going on a diet. I'm going to commit to living a healthy lifestyle so that I can play with my grandkids. The next part's the hard part, is knowledge. Is, you know, we don't, there's nobody educating. There's not a really good educational thing about food. In our country,
that tells the truth.
Our doctors go to school, and they get literally 30 minutes of nutrition training, and then they get sold on drugs. And you know, so they don't even get the training they need to be able to tell us. Me, a 300 pound man, going into my doctor's office, and he goes, "Well, what are you doing about losing weight?" Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'll go on a diet. Okay, that sounds good.
Eat less, move more, right?
Eat less, move more, calories in, calories out. Yeah. And that's not the way it works. We need to know what to eat, how to eat. You know, what you consume and when you consume it is as important as, you know, everything else. Those are the important things. And so where do we get that knowledge from? Well, for me, I had to wade through stuff I'm watching on YouTube, right? And that's what I'm trying to do is tell, and I'm not trying to say I did it the only way it can be done, right? But that's one of the reasons I started the YouTube channel. I want to be able to tell other people, here's what I did, and you can do it too. I'm not special.
Yeah, but some of that's accountability too, to followers. Because you're creating content of your journey, and you know that setbacks, you have people that are following you, and that could also be an accountability measure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And we can talk about that in a second. But so, I mean, I lost 120 pounds, and then over the course of the next year, going on vacation, I gained 7 pounds.
Yeah.
Over the holidays, that first set of holidays that came up, I'm like, kid in a candy store. I hadn't done this in a while. And over the course of the next year, I added 30 pounds back on. So my most recent YouTube challenge has been I'm going to lose 30 pounds. And I'm going through that now and I've lost about 15. I'm doing that specifically for accountability. And man, that's hard because you go through you know, I'm doing a weekly video, and this week's got, gained 3 pounds. You know, that's, so there's some real accountability there. But I didn't start YouTube to be, for them to hold me accountable, because I felt like I already had a pretty good grasp on it, which is not necessarily true. I could backslide next week. I mean, I could fall back into that same thing. I'm not going to, because I've learned too much. I feel amazing now. That's one of the reasons I call my channel Becoming Superhuman. It's not about being a superhero. It's not about being, having extraordinary powers. Super just means above average. And I couldn't call the channel above average, Becoming Above Average. That didn't sound real good. So I want to be, you know, you look around, and if you're 60 years old and you're not on drugs and you're not overweight, then you're above average. Mm-hmm. You're already there. Anyway, so that was, and then we talked some gaining knowledge. Where do you go? And there are a lot of great resources on YouTube. I link to a lot on my channel, so you go to my channel, Becoming Superhuman, and you can hear Thomas DeLauer, you can hear Ken Berry. Ken Berry's a doctor. Anthony Chaffee. I try to follow doctors and other people who are educated and not just influencers. Mm-hmm. Some of the people have done what I've done. Some of them have never had the challenges I had, but they give good information. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of good information on YouTube. You do have to kind of, you know, pick and choose. You have to kind of wade through it and see which one you really is.
You mean a Facebook commercial's not going to do it for me?
No.
a reel?
Yeah. So knowledge is that. And then the last one is discipline. Yep. Being able to put guardrails up and stay within the guardrails.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Priya, I've got... We didn't talk recently, but when I met you, we talked a little bit about some of the programs that you offer, mm-hmm. some of the support, some mm-hmm. of the things that you do, coaching, and mm-hmm. talk to us a little bit about, like, what type of things do you do? What is your typical clientele? Where do you typically contact them? Do they contact you? Where do you meet them? And then... What do your programs look like?
So my coaching, I've for the most part done one-on-one, but I did recently do a group coaching thing, which I do want to continue with. But I love one-on-one also. I absolutely love my one-on-one sessions. So when the women come to me, the initial call that we have, which is before they purchase, that's when we go into the why. Because if they don't have their why out, and I've noticed that, you know, that they don't really go deep, that's when they're not able to sustain their efforts, mm-hmm. you know, because it's really important. So we do that, and after that, I do send them a bunch of forms. There are things like a PARQ, you know, I want to make sure that they are healthy enough to work out. And if not, if they're on medications, they have chronic health conditions, they have to get a permission from their doctor. I'm not going to give them workouts unless they are, unless it's safe or if the doctor says, okay, she can't do this, she can't do that.
Yeah, it needs to be regulated.
Yeah, whatever. And so then based on all those, I kind of get a feel for, I kind of learn a lot about them, about how they eat, what's their family life. You know, it's just kind of like a variety of things. So I get a good picture of them. And this is for the one-on-one. And then we design the program. Now what I'm doing is, earlier it used to be that it was just like created on the spot. I had my framework, but it was kind of like just, we went with whatever. But now what I'm doing is that I do have like a, so to say, a curriculum, and we focus on, so based on the five pillars, we focus every week on a particular theme. So like it could be 1 week, could be like we're really working on the healthy plate or protein, you know, and then another week we're working on sleep. And so what I'm promoting right now is a 4-month program, because I've done the 3-month thing, but it's like scratching the surface, mm-hmm. because it's habit-based. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not just saying, okay, we're doing keto or this is whatever. It's habit-based and it's lifestyle. So basically, I provide them with an app through which they are provided with workouts, which they can do whenever they want. They can go in the gym or they can do it at home. Most of my clients work out at home, but they can work out at home in the gym. They can communicate with me, messaging anytime they need any help. We do calls every other week. And then if they need to track their food, they track their food. And that also I access through the app. They get all the education through the app. They have resources. All of that is provided to them. I might change it later on for anyone who's listening 5 years from now. I might not have an app. I might be doing something else. But for now, it's an app. But then it's the, you know, the accountability. And every week they have a check-in form to see how they're doing, what's been working, what's not working, what challenges are they expecting, where do they need support. And then we just build on that. Mm-hmm. And the group has been very similar to that as well, except we did not meet so often one-on-one. And it was mainly a group call. But they had access to me, and they had the community support. So, yeah, so that's how I coach my clients.
Yeah, I've been on both. So I've done one-on-ones. And my coach was, it was a video call.
Yes, and it's video.
And then we had an app, and then we would like take pictures of what we ate.
Yeah.
And he sent it in, and Alex's program. Yeah, he's been on a couple times, and it's a lot of accountability. It's just that's all.
Yes,
it is.
Exactly.
It's 100% a lot. And then you know he would build some workouts in, and they would be instructional, like, hey, this is how you do it. And you'd have to check it off, like, hey, I did it, or I didn't do it, or whatever. And then in that group, he would have a lot of folks that were doing one-on-ones, and then you would get a score for the for the week, and it was kind of competitive, you know, get people going. And then I've done a group activity where Josh and I were involved, where it was only like 5 days. And it was like, hey, let's see what we can get done in 5 days. What are some things that you guys are struggling with? What are some things that, you know, people have kids, or they, you know, they got to go to the ballpark. What's available to eat in the ballpark? Nothing but trash. You know, okay, well, you know, did you know you were going to go there? Because you could have packed something, whatever it may be. Like, there's always, you have to be mindful, you know, think ahead and all that good stuff. So,
so I think I forgot my fifth, I don't think I got around to my fifth pillar, which was mindset. And because mindset is what is a key to unlocking habits. You know, if you don't have the mindset, you're not going to stick to anything.
Right.
And so I'm, that's a big one, I believe. You know, it has to do with, you know, beliefs. And women especially have a lot of limiting beliefs. I know from myself, I had a lot and I still have some. I'm still working on them. But really getting over those beliefs, those false beliefs. There is so much we have grown up with of, you know, shame and looking on ourselves negatively. That's a really common thing amongst women. So I do have them do journaling. And there are, I had a client who, she's like, Priya, I have never done journaling. And I was telling her the benefits. She's like, Priya, I don't want to know what's in my head. And she started journaling. She's like, okay, I did one sentence. And then it became like she would go on a Saturday, she would leave the house, because she lived in a small place, and she would leave the house, she would go to a coffee shop and spend 2 hours there and just journal her heart away. And I would give her journal prompts, and it was all about mindset. It was all about identity. I'm really focused on identity, because we have to look on ourselves as who am I? Who am I, you know? And that's really, really important. You know, am I a fat person or a thin person? Or am I a healthy person? You know, why are we only thinking about fat and thin, right?
Right.
Why 100%. Are we only thinking of, you know? And she told me later on, she's like, Priya, this has been life-changing for me. It has given me, the journaling has helped me to stand up for myself, to be able to speak to my husband, to be able to stand up amongst my friends. It was, I was blown away by the impact it had on her. So journaling is one of those things. Yeah. And another activity I have for them, which in my group, several of them didn't do it, But those who did got a lot of benefit, and it's the your vision statement. What's your vision for the future? Mm-hmm. Based on what are your core values? What do you hold dear? And you put it all together. It's like an exercise you do, takes a bit of time, and then you come up with a core vision statement. This is my vision statement. And that is really, really important mm-hmm. for helping, you know, you, okay, I am this kind of person. This is what I want in my life. Okay, this is how I'm going to live because right. I'm that kind of person. This is what I look, you know. So I'm not going to wait for till I'm this those many pounds less or I've reached this goal, mm-hmm. but I'm going to live into it now.
Yeah. I mean, that's most companies, that's what they start with, mm-hmm. a vision statement.
Yeah.
And then they move on from there. You know, what do we want to be and what do we want to do? All right. So one of the core reasons why I wanted to have you guys on was we have holidays coming mm-hmm. up, like here in a couple weeks. I mean, we're close, and we all know what that's about.
Yep.
It's a time where you're supposed mm-hmm. to gather with friends, family, and have, you know, congregate and, you know, get together, tell stories, mm-hmm. catch up, and learn about each other and grow closer and all that good stuff, but for some, it's about just eating, mm-hmm. and it's you're gonna get overserved. We know that. So
who doesn't like eating, by the way?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah,
I'm a foodie.
Yeah, for sure. yes, but we also know that people sometimes deal with depression because mm-hmm. they don't have anybody there, or they've lost a loved one. You know, they're dealing with loneliness because they, maybe they're. You know, they're separated from their family, or maybe they're dealing with mm-hmm. the loss of someone, whatever it may be. Talk us through a little bit of what your mindset is when it comes to the holidays. As the holidays approach, how do you stick to your guns and stay disciplined? Obviously, we know, hey, look, one meal is not going to be the end all. But we talked a little bit about it, like, you know, 1st of January or the 2nd of January. Let's just be clear. Sometimes 1st of January, you know, depends on what day it falls on, is a fun day, too, that people, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to work.
Correct.
You got the day off.
Yeah, so, like, so it's a lot of times it's like, oh, it's New Year's resolution. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to run more and I'm going to be healthy and this, that, and the other. And it's, to me, it's very interesting and kind of delusional for you not to set some targets prior to a area of time where you're going to be susceptible to a lot of bad habits.
Right.
And you're also going to use that as an excuse for yourself to do what you want to do. It's what's easiest.
It happens up here.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So, like, I get that. But how does someone mentally prepare when you have the challenges that you have? It's the box of donuts in front of you.
No.
For a lot of people, it's, you know, sweet potato pie, or it may be, you know, something that's very high fat, no nutrition, that's always served, cookies, whatever it may be. So we know why people do it, but what are some things that you do particularly to prepare yourself for those events that happened during the holidays? Because we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to talk about the component of alcohol too, because that's prevalent in parties and mm-hmm. and that, you know, and whatever. So
100%. Let me start. I mean, so I started my journey July 5th, 2022. And the reason July 5th is because who's going to start on the 1st
right.
when the 4th is coming up?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your mind... So. Pick a day, right? So I picked a day, I started July 5th. And, you know, by the end of the year, I actually went into the holidays that year with the mindset that, number one, Thanksgiving is a single meal. It's one meal.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so, and Christmas is a single day. I mean, yes, Christmas parties, a whole other challenge. Some people have a friends party, and they have mm-hmm. a work party, and they have a church party, and... You know, so you might end up going to 4, 5, 6 parties.
Right.
And so I was actually, for the first time in my life, always before, you know, we talked about doing the yo-yo dieting thing. I mean, if I started dieting in June, about the holidays coming around, I'm off the rails. It's over. And I used that excuse. I've got, you got Thanksgiving's coming up.
Right.
That's a week. That's what your brain tells you, is that, you know, we're just going to start this, and we'll start January 1st, because it's right after Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we lie to ourselves and say, I pick a date too far out in the future, right? Yes, if you want to get started on a health journey, you do have to pick a date. And it doesn't have to be today, but it has to be in the next week, period. So if you're ready to start a health journey, pick a date. But if you don't start it in the next 5 days, 7 days, you've already messed up. Mm-hmm. You've already given yourself too much leeway, because you're going to gain 10 pounds that week. Because your mind's going to go, well, I'm going to start next week. So pick a day as soon as you can. And then, so that first year of 22 is probably the first year ever in my life that I didn't gain weight over the holidays. I mean, and it was because of a commitment. So I did a video on this after coming back from a vacation a couple of years ago, where I went on vacation, and I vacation in October, and the holidays are coming right after that. So I talked about this, is that you make a plan. All right, my plan is we're going to do Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming up, and my plan for Thanksgiving, I'm going to have one piece of pecan pie, and I'm going to have the mac and cheese. Right, so I'm going to give myself some graces. I'm going to allow myself to enjoy a really good meal, but there's a lot of good proteins, there's a lot of good veggies, there's a lot of good other options.
Yeah.
But what we do is we focus on the desserts, and we focus on, you know, the dressing and all these heavy carb things. And not that those are necessarily bad for you, but just pick one, treat yourself, and then move forward. And then when it comes to parties, that's hard. It's really, really hard, because there's not going to be anything to eat.
Yeah.
So you eat well during the day before the party. You eat some good protein. You make sure you're satiated. And then just go enjoy people's company. Go enjoy, socialize, do those things. And then when it comes to Christmas, it's almost like Thanksgiving. You know, a lot of people do Christmas Eve stuff. They do Christmas Day stuff. Most people do both. Mm-hmm. And so you do the same thing. Make a plan. Mm-hmm. And then you give yourself some freedom. You put up some guardrails.
Yeah.
And then you just stay between the guardrails. And it's easier said than done. So make a plan, stick to the plan. The problem is, most people, we make a plan, and once we mess up, well, I screwed up. So yeah. I'm done. So I'll start in January. Mm-hmm. And no, if you fall off the horse, get right back on. You know, the train comes off the track.
Yeah, not have that all or nothing mentality.
Yes, 100%.
You know, it's not perfection. It's about being consistent about how to, to have a healthy Thanksgiving, and I have another one, how not to gain 10, 15 pounds during the holidays. You know, the things like I mentioned, you know, like start with a vegetable. So when you start with your fiber, the fiber actually slows down the release of the sugar and the carbs. It fills you up, and then you have your protein. After that, you're not going to feel so much like eating a lot of the carbs or the junk or whatever, yeah. You know, and it will also kind of not let you have so much of a sugar spike. Making sure you're having enough water.
Going to walk right after you eat.
Yeah, going for a walk, making sure you're well hydrated, making sure you're getting your vegetables in, getting your protein in, and then going for the other things. And then just saying, okay, you know what, maybe you can have a plan of like, okay, I'm going to have two desserts, you know, something like that. I really do love dessert. So like you, I've got a sweet tooth, you know, so what I might do is take a little piece of different things. Mm-hmm. You know, what I do is often I'm like, share it with my husband, like, okay, here, you know, just because I want to. And like with pies, often what I'll do is maybe not have the crust, and I'll just have the filling, like pumpkin pie, not have the crust and just have the filling. But you know, for some people, the crust is the most important thing, you know. Right. But just doing some of these things, you know, and definitely going for a walk afterwards is really important, because when you walk after eating, and I do that always, I walk or lift weights after every meal.
Wow.
Yeah, because if you walk or move for 10, 15 minutes, doesn't have to be a fast walk, can be a stroll, after every meal, it actually helps your blood sugar regulation. Yeah. So your postprandial glucose uptake is not as much as if you've eaten
100%. I mean, you can eat a piece of pie, and normally your blood sugar is going to go from 90 to 150 or if you're not diabetic. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to take 2 hours to come back down. Mm-hmm. If you go on a walk, it actually blunts it like 50%. I mean, and you're talking about getting through eating and then immediately going on a 10 or 15 minute walk. Doesn't have to be high intensity.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be for a long duration, but it's scientifically proven. So, I mean, and I've learned a lot of these things just watching different things, and you're just going, our bodies are amazing, right? We're created in an amazing way. We can heal ourselves. We can get healthy. I mean, with some things. I'm no longer pre-diabetic, and I didn't take any drugs. I'm no longer hypertensive, and I didn't take any drugs. But it's just changing what I consumed and the way I consumed them. But it's also doing other things. You talked about, you know, getting good sleep. I had no idea how important sleep was. Right? But sleep, if you don't sleep right, your insulin levels do not come down the way they're supposed to. So you end up in insulin resistance, which causes diabetes. That's what leads to diabetes.
And it prevents weight loss. In the presence of insulin, your body will not burn fat.
That's correct.
You know, it's going to only burn glucose.
100%. So yes. So that's one of the big reasons I enjoy doing a low-carb diet is because I want to keep the insulin down as much as I can. But coming from a place of being diabetic, and most, you know, men that were my size, or even not even my size, but I've got friends that are diabetic, and I'm like, dude, do you enjoy taking drugs? Because you can, if you get the makeup and the why and the desire to, you can reverse diabetes. It's 100% diabetes type 2. Type 1's not. Type 1 is your pancreas.
It's a different desire.
It's a different disease completely.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, it's just, you know, getting sunshine. You know, getting your feet in the grass. You hear that all the time.
Grounding,
it's a real thing.
And actually, one of the things which I personally do myself is going out for a morning walk, because that actually, the light in your eyes,
circadian rhythm.
It helps reset the circadian rhythm. And in the evening, dimming the lights in your house. So actually, these lights are not good for my sleep tonight.
Sorry about that.
Well, and most people are not. They're set up for bad sleep because these are blue light, this is not a warm light.
Yeah.
And so it really messes with, you know, fluorescence and LEDs.
Yeah.
And my house is full of LEDs, so I'm being hypocritical here somewhat. But, you know, looking at a phone, looking at your TV screens, all of these
but
things.
But you can have LEDs. We have LEDs in our house, but they're all soft light.
Yeah, we do the soft light. We do the soft
and then
light.
In the evening, we just dim the lights. We dim them. We have one lamp on in every room. And if it's not needed, we don't have it on, you know.
Yeah.
So just to keep it really dim. My husband is not bothered, you know, he can sleep anytime, anywhere, but I am affected. So for women, definitely alcohol is not really recommended. I had a client recently who, she actually has had breast cancer, and we talked about alcohol, and she's like, well, I'm always going to have my one glass of wine every night. And I was like, sure, okay. You know, that was her thing. It was like non-negotiable, but she was doing everything else, but it was just one, you know, so it was like, okay, you know. But
my wife was that way. She was you know, like, hey, you know, the final type of thing helps me sleep. And we've over the last like 6 months, she's replaced that with tea, and it's helped her a lot. You know, and I think it's improved her digestion, and it's helped her in the mornings too. Like,
yeah.
You know, she's more vibrant.
Yeah.
Versus what she was.
It can also cause you to have more cravings.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. Yeah.
Oh,
it can affect your mood,
especially
anxiety.
You know, especially if you're doing one glass of wine is probably not going to do it. But if you take, if you have two, you consume two cocktails in the evening, to your inhibitions to staying away from food, it goes away. You don't have your that dedication you had stone cold sober. It's not the same after you've had a couple of drinks, and so it does affect that. And that's, you know, when you drink a lot every day, it ends up you consume more.
That becomes your why.
Well, and it becomes more. There is more food that you consume after you do that. You just the guardrails come down, and you don't even know what's happening. I mean, I'm not saying you're drunk, or I'm not saying you. I'm just saying just a little bit of alcohol. It impairs the brain enough to where some of those disciplines you had previously, not there anymore.
Yeah.
But for women in this season of life, even the one drink
is that right?
Can be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can cause all of these problems, you know, the sleep, the anxiety, the cravings, all of that stuff. So it isn't recommended for women to really actually have even one drink, you know, maybe two or three in a week. And, you know, if you have to have it, you know, but I'm like, you know, could you maybe have half?
Yeah.
You know, just because you're in a social gathering and you don't want to. If you don't want to have a non-alcoholic drink, maybe you could just have half, you know.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, okay, consider it a treat. But, you know, alcohol is actually a macronutrient by itself.
Sure.
It's not a food, it's not a carbohydrate, protein, or fat, but it has calories. It has 7 grams of calories. Per 7 calories per gram. Mm-hmm. Fat has got 9 calories per gram. Carbs and protein have 4 calories per gram. So even though it has no nutritive quality,
correct,
it's giving you all those calories.
I mean, so, and I consume alcohol. And I did as I was losing weight. But when I was losing weight on that 120 pounds, I went from having, you know, 4, 5, 6 drinks a week to having drinking once or twice a week, period. Mm-hmm. And then just being disciplined with that.
Sure.
But it's also having them, I understand, and I've come to believe that alcohol is toxic for our bodies. It's not, our bodies, when we consume alcohol, the first thing our liver does is it quits everything else it's doing to metabolize the alcohol. Mm-hmm. That's how much of a toxin or poison it
and
is.
And it's also
body.
A neurotoxin.
So it's impacting your body fairly quickly. And so you actually end up, you can, for example, if you don't eat enough food, you consume more alcohol, it actually lowers your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. Because your liver makes it, your liver actually makes glucose. It's called gluconeogenesis. And so if your liver quits making glucose and you're not consuming glucose, then you can go hypoglycemic from drinking too much and not having enough food coming into your body. So it's not good for you. I choose, that's my one vice, if you would.
Yeah.
Right?
This is my pecan pie.
It's
really what it is.
I mean, you know, for some people it's sugar.
And sugar's toxic to the body too.
I think ultimately it's about moderation.
Sure.
And like I tell my clients, I don't put anything off limits. It's nothing's off limits. I had a client who said, Priya, I have to quit sugar. I have to quit. I said, no, you know, you can have two treats a week. No, I have to quit sugar. And then I thought about it and
before
the call. And I said to her, I said, you know what, if you want to quit sugar, that's fine. But just remember, if you ever feel the urge, Priya gave you permission to have 2 treats a week.
Okay. And that makes sense. I mean, so for me, again, being a sugar addict, it's like you wouldn't tell a heroin user, yeah, you can have 2 glasses a week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It is, if it's addictive and it causes issues, that's typically...
Well, but you know yourself.
I do know myself.
And you know that you can't control it.
Yeah, and the other part of that is now, on my journey and having my why, I can have some sugar, and I'm not going to go off the rails.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not going to be in the form of a donut. Mm-hmm. You're going to have sugar maybe in a different form.
Probably, more than likely, yes. But I'm serious, though. Donuts, my kryptonite. People bring a box of donuts.
Yeah, tortilla chips are mine.
They bring a box of donuts to the office and they set them right outside my door.
Yeah.
I'm going to justify it. I'm going to sit there and go, that's 100 calories.
Yeah.
Calories in and calories out. And I don't know exactly how you feel about it. It's one of the worst things ever because you sit there and justify all these calories.
Yeah.
But it's not the calories, it's what you're consuming.
Yeah.
And so I'll sit there and before you know it, I've had 5. I mean, literally. I've gone out there. I won't buy them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won't make a donut.
That makes it better. It's free.
It is, right. Exactly. But I won't pull into the donut shop and buy. I haven't bought a donut in the last 3 years. But I bet I've eaten 24, you know, from different times.
Yeah.
Just because it's like I see it and it's there and I'm like, anyway, got off track there.
No, you're good.
You know, you reminded me, we were talking about sugar and we're talking about alcohol and, you know, pick your poison. Mm-hmm. You know, our bodies can detoxify.
Yeah.
Right? We have this machine that's built to do that. The problem is we over-toxify our bodies and our bodies throw up the red flag and goes, or the white flag and says, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You have overwhelmed the defenses. Mm-hmm. And so eliminate everything you can and keep what you have to have. Mm-hmm. But try to eliminate as much of it as you can. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've gotten to the point now where I use natural soaps. I mean, I really, is it granola or crunchy or whatever you want to call it, where you, I mean, I got rid of the plastic things that go in the dishwasher. I got rid of the plastic things that go into the washing machine. I'm using natural things that dissolve into those things without having those additional plastics, because we're full of plastics. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect me, from what I understand. It doesn't affect me as a 61-year-old man who's never going to have kids again. Because it disrupts your endocrine system. Mm-hmm. I'm from Shreve, so
it's an endocrine disruptor.
It's an endocrine disruptor. It causes fertility issues, et cetera, and our bodies are hammered with plastics. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm looking at health from a holistic standpoint, and not just what I'm consuming, but how much sun I get. I quit using sunscreen. I quit wearing sunglasses. Sunglasses are not good for us. It disrupts our body, that's the way our body knows what we're being exposed to. And if we wear sunglasses, our body doesn't know that we're being exposed to a bright sunlight. And it really, if you think about it, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I've been told all my life, I'm blue-eyed. Yeah, I come out of the movie theater, I can't see. Oh, it's bright outside, I can't see. And I quit wearing sunglasses, and now I'm dry without them. Now, if I'm going to the beach, if I'm going to snow skiing, it's a little bit different. That's not natural sunlight, right? It's been amplified and intensified. But, I mean, so just, again, I'm looking at health from a holistic standpoint. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, that is good. But one of the things which I like to say is, like I said, like nothing is off limits, like I say to my clients. And for a lot of people, when they're starting off, when we say things like, don't eat this, don't eat that, that is the worst thing, because that's not going to get them on board and willing, because they're like, oh my goodness, I can't do it, you know. But start where you are. That's what my premise is. The way I start with my clients is start where they are. Like I had a client who she was used to, she was a sugar addict, she ate sugar, she had dessert 3 times a day. She told me, she's like, Priya, I grew up with, you know, sweets as the comfort food. I had a bad day in school, my mom's like, here's a cookie. Sure. I had a bad whatever, here's some ice cream. I always associate with that, and she had it 3 times a day. So we worked from 3 times a day to 2 times, and then once, and then 4 times a week, and then went down to 2 times a week. And of course, her husband was sabotaging her, because there it was Halloween and he got bags of candy. And she's like, you know, I took it and threw it in the garbage. And I was like, you threw it in the garbage?
But
it's really, you know, it's starting where you are and working on little things. I'm all about habits, starting small, you know. Scott has built some great habits. I've built some great habits. We have a certain level of whatever we're doing, you know, but we need to remember that for people, I didn't start with
right.
doing everything. I started at one place, started with doing a few things. And that's what we need to encourage the viewers, the listeners, is to start where they are. Start with, you know, maybe getting that morning sunlight and maybe doing, taking 5 deep breaths every day. you know, especially when they're stressed, doing that, trying to turn off their phone half an hour before they go to bed.
Or switching from Diet Dr. Pepper to tea.
That's
not a hard lift.
Maybe having some protein at every meal, you know, having a little more water, you know, maybe I'm going
to
walk.
Or switching to snack. Like, hey, I like to snack on Kit Kats.
Yeah.
Well, let's snack on something different.
Just something different, you know, and start small. Because you don't have to do it all.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to an extreme. You can start where you are and slowly build on it.
Yeah, very cool. Scott, if folks that are listening and eventually going to watch, if they want to find your YouTube channel, how do they find it?
All right, so you go to Becoming Superhuman. So that's at Becoming_Superhuman. Or just search for my name or Becoming Superhuman on YouTube. And I should pop up fairly
high. Well, we'll include the link too.
Yeah. So yeah, look at the link. And anyway, yeah, I've got 7,200 subscribers.
Yep. How many videos do you think?
Probably now, because it's consistency's hard. You know that,
sure.
Right? Of course, you're a lot more consistent than I am. But doing it now, you know, a year and two thirds or so. Probably about 20 or 25 long form videos,
yeah,
and then another 30 or so short form videos. You know, anyway, yeah.
You gotta be intentional there too.
That's absolutely
it's hard.
It is hard. You know, doing full time job.
Yep.
And you know, being able to put something down. Here's what we're going to talk about this week, and then filming that, and then editing that, and then uploading that.
I think it's not just that, but it's more of just thinking that moment's important enough to film it.
Yeah.
And it's and then you do it and you're like, I'm so glad I caught that moment. And then you just forget to do it again. And then you're like, oh man, it's just like this.
The other part is too, is I'm, you know, you live off gratification. You live off of, boom, my YouTube's going crazy right now.
You
views. Know, I get, you know, yeah, I get views and likes and I'm like, oh, I gotta keep going. And then they kind of,
yeah.
And you're going, ah, nobody's watching.
Right.
You know, I go from 20,000 views in a day to 50 views in a day. So it's, you know, it's just crazy.
Yep.
It's just crazy. But it's a lot of fun.
Yep. Priya, how would listeners find you, your services, your programs?
So I have a website, journeytohealthwithpriya.com.
Okay.
As I knew the link, I have a Facebook group for women over 40 called Healthy and Thriving Women Over 40. I can send you a bit.ly link, which is bit.ly.com/journeytohealthwithpriya, and I've got a bunch of links to how to contact me, you know, you want any, if my cheat sheets, I have a 30-day healthy tip calendar, you know, 10 ways to have a healthy Thanksgiving, and how to not gain 10, 15 pounds during the holiday season.
That's
awesome. You know, I have different things linked there. They can go to that. And of course, I have my website, journeytohealthwithpriya.com. I don't know if I told that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So something I'm surprised you with, and if you haven't listened to any of my podcasts and you don't know, we end the podcast with shout outs. So this is your opportunity to give a shout out to a friend, family member, mentor, somebody who maybe doesn't know that they're appreciated. But a lot of people go with spouses. I mean, I know. Most of the time they know, but maybe not. I don't know. But this is your opportunity to kind of recognize somebody, or somebody who may not listen to a lot of podcasts. You may find it entertaining to tell them, hey, look, you're mentioned on a podcast.
Right.
You should listen. And when we get it, you know, produced, and you can send it to them. So I'm going to start with you because you're better off the cuff. But
oh, my goodness. I mean, so you kind of downplayed the spouse thing, right? I mean, so I want to do a shout-out to Christy, my wife.
Yeah.
Because I have done this in the past when she didn't have an issue.
Yeah.
Right? She was thin until she was perimenopausal and menopausal. And then she gained weight, and then we lost it together. And it's so much easier to go on a health journey when you're able to walk hand in hand with somebody.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do shout out to her because we did it the same way, which before she never would have gone low carb, she never would have gone intermittent fasting and things like that, and she jumped in with both feet. I mean, she's actually the reason we went from two meals a day to one meal a day.
Yeah, that's cool.
So anyway, shout out to Christy. She's not here anymore, but shout out to my mother. I mean, this is, she's the reason I'm doing this. You know, they tell you parents are either teachers or lessons, and sometimes you're both. Absolutely, I had great parents that taught me a lot, but I also learned some lessons the hard way.
Yeah, very cool, man. So, thanks for sharing.
You well.
Yeah, what about you?
You know, I think we're twins because we're 61, and I immediately thought of my husband, too. In fact, I teared up thinking about him. I want to just shout out to him, too, for his support, you know. Yeah. He supported me in my business. He supported me in my care of my mom whenever I had to rush home to be with her and never, ever griped or complained. And, yeah, I really appreciate him.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Well,
yeah, it's, I like doing that. It makes me feel good. It makes my guests feel good. And kind of ends it on a good note.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you guys
thank you so much
for spending your time
with us
and educating us and educating the listeners. I think this has been an awesome conversation, a much needed conversation, especially as people are hitting the holidays. Mm-hmm. We'll have this uploaded before that starts and kind of
make your resolutions now. Don't wait until January.
Exactly. And then understand like what you're walking into. You're walking into a litany of just unhealthy operations, and let yourself be vulnerable of the things that you just absolutely have to have, but you don't have to have a ton of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, focus on the things that
enjoy those one or two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I can't tell you how many times I had. Well, you know this, and mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. There's been many times where I've eaten my meal and then I can't do a thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel horrible.
Right.
Because of all this stuff I put in my body. Mm-hmm. So think about that.
I thought it was because Cowboys lost.
think about who you want to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Think about your future. Yeah,
meaningful. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
You bet.
Appreciate it. All right. That's our episode. We've got one more for the year. So we're going to take a week off for Thanksgiving. And we have one more. It's a pretty cool one that we have coming. I'm not going to say any names, but we'll do some announcements on the Facebook page and Instagram page. And we'll stay tuned. Thank you so much.